Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hey everybody, welcome to Thrift Therapy. Thanks for tuning in. The record you hear playing in the background is by composer Richard Strauss. Its title is Also Sprach Zarathustra. Some of you may be thinking of Nietzsche right now going, what the fuck? Good for you. This record was supposedly inspired by Nietzsche's book, Thus Spake Zarathustra. Richard seemed to identify with the themes in the book, although it is rumored that he disagreed with Nietzsche's conclusion. This is a very interesting record. If you like classical music and you find this out in the wild, I definitely recommend picking it up, especially if it's just a couple dollars. It's well worth it. It's performed by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra and conducted by Clemens Krauss. And it's really beautiful. It's got a lot of lulls in the orchestral maneuvers. So it gets quiet and then loud quite often. But I really enjoy classical music as a whole, and I'm particularly fond of Strauss, and I like waltzes, and I definitely like Nietzsche. In this particular book of Nietzsche's, this is the one where he says that God is dead, and that we need to free ourselves from Christianity's ideas of religiosity and morality, and that we need to better ourselves as moral agents, and that we shouldn't need some sort of deity to inspire moral goodness in us as human beings. I chose this particular record because the guest that I have on today, I think, would agree with that sentiment as well. We talk a little bit about existentialism. We get a little nihilistic with our humor, and we talk the joy of podcasting and thrifting. Well, I have a lot of interesting things to tell you. Oh, but first, I guess I should finish the record review. It's just that this music goes on and on and on. I don't know what else I want to say about it. I guess I would give it 5 out of 5 Nagels, mostly because I think it's interesting to know the overlap between the philosophy and the music of the time. So I would say definitely pick it up, and the album cover's pretty cool. It looks very like Art Deco, in my opinion, which of course is not the right time, but it still looks pretty cool. I don't know how else to explain it. It's got this weird statue dancing, and boy, is this person disproportionate. I don't know what's happening with their feet, but check out the cover art that I post on the icon of each episode. If you leave iTunes and go over to where I host the podcast on Anchor FM, you can see the cover art of every episode for the record that I play and review at the beginning of every episode. I think I'll start adding those to my website, which is thrifttherapypod.com. And if you look at the images that I collect there, I post pictures relevant to each episode, like pictures that the guest sends me. I have some going up from Reed later on today. And I will now start posting all the album art on that page as well. So be sure and visit that. Recently, I've started posting pictures of the thrift bags that I send out there as well. So I can remember the kinds of packages I've put together, but also in case you're interested in a thrift bag, you can see what you might get. Okay, I'm just going to have to stop this record because I'm tired of talking about it. In other news, and speaking of thrift bags, if you're a thrift bag subscriber for the month of September, and that window is now closed, all of your thrift bags are going out this week. They have been packaged, they have been labeled, they have been stamped, and they are awaiting pickup. So if all goes well, they'll be out tomorrow in the post office. Be sure and check your email for your tracking numbers. I've set up a system where it'll should shoot you an email and updates. I look forward to seeing people post pictures of their thrift bags. I would love somebody to do an unboxing video and send that to me or tag me in it or however that works. If you want to do one on Facebook and the Thrift Therapy Facebook group, that'd be a great place to do it. And then everybody can share it from there with whomever they wish. I love unboxing videos. I watch them on YouTube. I think it's super fun. And then maybe someday I'll start a YouTube channel and put all of the unboxing videos that people do of thrift bags in one channel. That'd be fun. Let's do that. Let's see. What else do I have to talk about today? I did have a new Patreon subscriber, M. Donald. Thanks for signing up and supporting the show. I really appreciate all the support that I've gotten throughout this year as I've worked on this podcast. I also want to tell you guys that I've done a few things. I did some things. Oh no. Watch out, world. Well, one of the things that I did was I ordered some pins, or buttons, I guess is what they're called. Not buttons like you sew on a jacket to close it with, but you know, those little pins that you put on your denim jacket or your backpack or whatever. I ordered some Thrift Therapy ones so we can wear them around and spot each other in the wild. And once I get those, I will make an announcement because I will be offering free buttons to any Patreon subscriber at any level, first come, first serve, once they arrive. And I did order a limited number. I'm also working up a merchandise list in the Thrift Therapy Facebook group. So if you're a part of the group, go check out the poll that I have going on there of what kind of merchandise you're interested in. Right now, t-shirts are in the lead, which surprises me. I really thought bumper stickers would be the thing because I have some funny ones that I want to get made, like resting thrift face or get out of my way, I'm going thrifting. I feel like I need those on my car like right now. And I really like the one that one of my guests said, which is that's the smell of savings, which is about thrift store smell, right? I think that's funny. But people do seem to really like the t-shirt idea, and I'm really looking for a way to get some iron-on decals made, but I'm not having any luck right now, so I'll keep you guys posted. If you're a podcaster and you're listening to this, or an Etsy seller, and you know where I can get some really cool merchandise made for the show, email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. I'm really looking for some unusual items like tape measures, hand sanitizer, and I want some iron-on decals made for Thrift Therapy. Thanks for your time, you guys. I appreciate all the help I can get. But I am really looking forward to setting up a merch store, so stay tuned for that, and I will keep you posted as things go along. So I want to give you guys an update on one of the questions that have been posed during the podcast, and I'm going to go back to the episode with Chatty Crafties, the crafting podcasters that I interviewed. I remember that Angelica asked if I had ever tried, or she recommended that I try, if I want to take a shortcut when I'm out thrifting, that I can figure out if a garment's going to fit by measuring the waist size with my arm, if I fold it at the elbow and make a fist and then insert that length of arm into the waistband, it's supposed to correlate with my own waist size. Well, Alyssa, my fabulous assistant, set up a poll in the Facebook group, which is called Thrift Therapy, so join if you haven't. And right now the poll rests at 19 votes for fiction and 9 votes for fact. So Angelica jumped in the thread. She was excited to see that this was a poll. And some people agreed with her that it does work, but many more people agreed that it doesn't. And Mel pointed out a good reason why it doesn't work is that she says that her proportions are weird and that's why it doesn't work for her. So if you have maybe atypical proportions, then this method won't work. And also maybe if you're of larger size, there are some people that report that it doesn't work because the boobs and the waist are the largest part of their body. And I totally resonate with that. I don't think it works for me either for the same reason. But while we're going through this poll, Tanya Bailey pointed out that there is a shortcut method that does work more often, especially for those of us who gain weight over time or lose weight. And this is just not a statistically sound way of doing it for us. Tanya says that she uses the waist of the pants and shorts and folds it around her neck to see if it's gonna work. And a lot of people agreed that this works for them. So even if you have atypical proportions or you are larger than you used to be, that method seems to work better. So I just wanted to give you guys that update. I thought it was really fun to take some of the questions from each episode and pose them to the Facebook group so you can count on Alyssa for keeping that going. When I ask a question in an episode, from now on, we are going to try as a team here at Thrift Therapy to get those questions to the listeners and then report back on them. And I hope that's fun for y'all. It's definitely fun for me. All right, so another thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about was I had a couple really good thrift hauls because I've been really trying to get the thrift bags together for this month and get them sent out. That was my goal, was to finish them up this week and mail them Monday, and I achieved it. So let me just tell you briefly that I went on 2 runs to source the thrift bags, and one thing in particular that really stood out was I had to replace a pair of shoes. I sent the wrong shoe size to a customer, a thrift bag subscriber, and they emailed me about it, which I'm so glad when someone emails me about their thrift bag and lets me know if there's an error or something got broken, because I will definitely replace that for you. You should definitely do that. I'm down for making sure that everyone that subscribes is happy with what they got and wants to keep supporting the show. One subscriber did reach out to me and let me know that I sent the wrong size shoe, so I told them I would shop for a replacement. And I went to one of my source outlets, which is a thrift bargain center for Buffalo Exchange, and I go there, and some days, on the day that they put out their dollar items, and I get as many as I can, so I had a basket full of goodies, but I went to the shoe section to look for a replacement shoe, and I found 2 pair in this person's size. And the reason I'm telling you about this, because I did something I haven't done before. This particular client is very active in the Facebook group and also follows me on Instagram, so I knew I could get a hold of them. I felt it was likely. And I could not decide which shoe, because one was a really cute, with tags on, crushed velvet gladiator sandal that wrapped up with ties. Super cute, never been worn by Zara. Adorable. But the other pair were these stellar leather boots that are Gucci inspired, that lace all the way up their ankle boots, and they have a rose applique on the side, and they have a big cutout in the front. So I don't even know how to describe them. I'll post a picture of them on my webpage, thrifttherapypod.com, so you can see how cool these boots are. Well, but they're heels, and I just wasn't sure if this client wore heels. So I sent them a picture via Facebook Messenger to say, which shoe do you want? Hoping that they would reply, and they did. So that was really cool. I really enjoyed that interaction because I felt like I was definitely getting them what they wanted. And they chose the really rad lace-up booth because, as they said, they're sexy as hell. And they are. They're really, really, really cool. So I did want to share with you guys that thrift experience. I had never done that before, and I had a really fun time getting to converse with the client in the moment I was out thrifting and guarantee that they were going to really like what I sent them. This experience was especially good because the last time I was at this particular store, there was a tragedy that occurred. I had a cart full of stuff, and it was a lot of $1 items specifically for my thrift Patreons. And of course, I had gotten there early, stood in line, battled through the store to get the things. I mean, it really is a battle, you guys, on these days. There's a lot of resellers there, and we just fight it out in the nicest possible way to get the goodies. Well, I had done all this labor, and it was close to the part where I'm getting ready to parse my cart, and it was in the back of the store, and I pulled a couple really cool pairs of boots and added them to my cart, and this little girl, maybe like 3 years old, 4 years old at the most, has an ice cream drink that she drops right in front of my cart and splatters my whole cart with ice cream. And I just stood there looking like, what the fuck just happened? In my head, I'm thinking, this poor girl doesn't know what's happening, but who the fuck lets their small child go to a thrift store, a very crowded, very small thrift store with a container of ice cream in their hands and then leaves them unattended? I don't know who does that, but I'm just standing there perplexed. I'm not sure what to do, and I start going, oh no, okay. And then I go find an attendant and ask them if they have any paper towels. So the mom shows up and, of course, never apologizes to me, never apologizes to anybody that got splattered with ice cream, just starts acting like entitled and like, well, everything's just fine here. This is just what you do. You just take ice cream into a clothing shop and spill it, and then you just ask the people to clean it up. No big deal. And sorry for your cart, not really. So the poor little girl, you know, she's just being a kid, but I thought the mom that was with her and whoever else was with her was really under-concerned with what was going on. So I had to spend about 15 minutes with a paper towel and some water trying to save the things in my cart. I ended up having to leave a pair of really rad suede boots behind because I just couldn't get the ice cream out. So that was such a bummer, and I really felt like I didn't get to express any irritation because I'm not going to be mad at a little girl. It's not her fault. But when we got in the car, I was like, told my husband what happened, and he let me vent a little bit. So I thought I would tell you guys. And maybe as a PSA, you know, I get it. You've got to take your kids shopping sometimes. I've taken mine plenty of times. But how about not ice cream? You know, how about maybe like a juice pouch? That is hard to spill. I think that's a much better idea because all these items are going to be like one of a kind things that it's not like we can just go to the other part of the store and get another one and then be like, no big deal, because that's just not how it goes. And at the very least, if something like that happens, how about an apology? How about like, oh my God, I am so sorry. All these things in your cart just got potentially ruined. Let me help you clean that up. Like, that'd be really good. So I was really just trying to focus on, look, everything that you got was under $50, so let it go. That's why I really enjoyed going back this time and having a really fun experience there because it sort of offset the bad taste left in my mouth by the ice cream experience, pun intended. And then to top it off, I went back there Friday just to shop a little bit for myself, which I haven't done in a while, to be honest with you guys, because I've been so busy shopping for the Patreon subscribers.
that I just felt like I needed a little therapy just for myself, a little thrift therapy for me. And I found the cutest Zara dress that I just love, love, love. This little sweater dress that's lightweight enough for San Antonio, Texas, where it's still, even in the winter, it's just too hot to commit to a sweater dress. And this one is just a cotton blend sweater dress, and it's loose fitting, so I'm not going to have to strip naked every time I go into a place in the winter that has their heater on, you know, like 80, because we just can't handle the winter in Texas. And it doesn't have a turtleneck. It has like a little bohemian vibe with a tassel tie-off on the front of the neck. And then it has these big sort of elbow-length belled sleeves with layers of fabric, and it is the cutest thing. And it's above the knee, so I can wear my over the knee boots with it. And it's brown and black. It's just the cutest thing. And coincidentally, I woke up Saturday and it was cool outside. What? Thrift gods be smiling, y'all. So I got to wear my cute little dress with my over the knee boots to go do the rest of my thrifting. Overall, I would say two really good thrift hauls that countered the, you know, disaster of an ice cream moment where I lost some really cool thrifty things that I couldn't get for my Patreon. So I think it evened out. Thanks, thrift gods. You were looking out for me. Although I wonder if you were on vacation when the ice cream thing happened, because my cart could have just been like 7 inches further down and it wouldn't have gotten splattered probably. Anywho, well, those are my thrift hauls that I wanted to tell you about. And I guess leading into the topic that has been most on my mind since my interview with Reed is, I think there is a thrift dollar versus retail dollar conversion that we need to come up with as thrifters, right? Because I was thinking about my $7 dress, what it probably originally cost, which, you know, is probably around $80 to $100, looking on their website at Zara. And then thinking about, when's the last time I paid retail for a dress? And is the joy the same? Like, what are the cost of shopping thrift versus the cost of shopping retail? Because Reed and I talked a little bit in the interview about, I bet there's a dollar conversion for thrifting. And I think this is the question I want to pose to the Facebook group this week. What do you think it is? For every U.S. retail dollar, so one equals, what do you think the thrift dollar is? Reed said 5. I said like 8.75 because I was thinking that's how thrift price points work. It's never just $8. So it's like $8.50 or $8.99 or $8.75, right? What do you think? What do you think it is? I guess the reason I came up with that was because, like with the Zara dress, if I paid $7, you know, like $10 or less, and it retails for $80, I'm thinking like, you know, 1-to-8 kind of ratio. But that would make me think about the last time I bought a retail dress. It was my husband's graduation from graduate school. So I guess this was 1.5 years ago. And I was just feeling so good. One of us had been in college the entire time we've been together, which is almost 15 years. I think it'll be 15 years in November. We've been in college the whole time. One of us has always been in school. So that was the first time at his graduation that neither one of us was going to be going to school. And it just seemed like such a monumental occasion that I wanted to really mark it in some special way for myself in terms of what I wore and how I felt and just, I don't know, I just wanted to make it really special for both of us. And we both like clothes a lot. So we went shopping at one of these fancy retail malls here called La Cantera. And he bought a suit retail price at H&M, I think, or Zara. I think it was H&M was the one he decided on. And then I bought a dress at H&M. And my dress cost $100. I think his suit cost a little more than that. And I've worn that dress, I think, two or three times. I wore it to his graduation and I wore it for New Year's Eve last year. It's a beautiful dress and I had a lot of fun buying it. But to be honest, you guys, we did get in a little fight at the mall because I wanted to pay retail and my husband was like, we never pay retail for anything. This is so weird. And he was getting really anxious and I got mad. I was like, just let me do this for you. Why are you ruining it? You know? And then he was like, fine, I don't want anything. And I was like, that is it. You're buying a suit. So we're going back and forth. And finally we hugged it out. And I was like, look, I know, but let's do this. We deserve it. We've worked really, really hard for a really long time. So we did. But I was thinking, you know, that was $100. I think I would have enjoyed that dress more if I only paid $10 for it. I'm pretty sure I would have enjoyed it even more. That's an interesting thing, right? So there's some kind of numerical exchange of thrift dollar versus retail dollar, but I think there might be an emotional one too. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I'll have Alyssa post that question in the Facebook group and I will take a look at the responses and include them in a future podcast so we can discuss it and come up with what we think the exchange rate is. Well, I guess I will introduce my podcast guest. I think this is a good segue. Today I'm interviewing Reed Messerschmidt, who makes the irrationally exuberant, a scripted, absurdist exploration of history and pop culture. It's a podcast filled with lies. That's what he says, and I agree. Actually, I really like talking with Reed. He's really, really funny guy, and he's sarcastic and self-depreciating, which are some of my favorite comedic qualities for sure. And sometimes there are songs on his podcast, and so he likes to also cover topics. I really enjoy his podcast. I recommend you check it out. And stay tuned at the end of the episode because I will play a promo so you can get an idea of what the podcast is about. You can find the Irrationally Exuberant podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also visit his website at www.theirrationallyexuberant.com. All right. So without further ado, here's the interview. Hi. Are you there, Reed?
I am here.
Okay, good. Welcome to Thrift Therapy. I'm excited to talk with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I can tell. You are very thrifty. I've been stalking you just a little bit online, not in a weird way. but yeah, you're a big time thrifter. You're probably more of a thrifter than I am even.
I have a problem, I think. I really do treat it like it's like an addiction. Like I like don't always tell my wife when I've been to a thrift store, you know?
Are you hiding bags in your car and stuff like that?
Yeah, sometimes I sneak them in after she falls asleep.
Yeah, that's like an addiction for
yep.
sure.
Yep, mm-hmm. It for sure is, which isn't surprising because I have a wildly addictive personality.
Well, good. You're going to tell us about yourself right off the bat. So what else should we know about you?
Yeah, I have a podcast called The Irrationally Exuberant. It's a scripted kind of absurdist take on pop culture, history. Sometimes there are stories from my personal life. Sometimes there are songs that I write. It's kind of all over the place.
I have to admit, I've been listening to it, and maybe because I just picked random ones to listen to. I don't know why I'm like that, but I am.
Yeah.
I think I got mostly stories from you. Right. I got one about the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals, but the other ones that I heard were stories about you.
Right. The short ones are stories about me, and then the longer ones are just a topic that I pick and kind of riff on.
I really like the stories about you. You were kind of an asshole when you were younger, I think.
My 20s were a real mess. I was a bit of a monster.
Yeah, and I like the way you talk about that. Like, you're very honest about that. And I tend to like podcasts that are really authentic and that I can relate to in some way. And at my age, looking back at my 20s, which was in the late 80s, early 90s, yeah, I think I was a bit of an asshole too. In fact, I think it'd be hard to find somebody who wasn't an asshole during the late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, and just your 20s, you're discovering who you are and you're wildly overconfident about everything.
Oh, for sure.
And I think it's just a recipe for being an asshole. Also, there's just consumption of, you know, liquor and drugs and, you know, casual sex. And it's just a mess for everybody, I think.
Yeah, bad jokes.
Right.
Pontificating on stuff you don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a mess. So I enjoyed the stories, even though every one of them made me cringe. Like, oh.
Yeah, some of them are rough. Some of them are definitely rough.
So I think it's very brave of you to tell your stories like that.
Well, thank you. I'm a real hero.
And you're sarcastic. I like that.
Yeah. You know, move over, firefighters. Internet content providers are here to take your spot. Yeah.
Very true, true.
Right.
Now, you live in Fargo. That's gets cold up there, right?
It gets very cold. Fargo is... I think probably in terms of like places where people actually live, it's got like the widest swing of temperatures. You know, we can get up to 110. I think it's gotten up to 120 before, and it can get down as low as like 30, 40 below.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's a real nightmare.
Well, you know, I mean, some people like cold weather. It's just not me. It sounds like a misery.
Yeah, you know, I have a 2-year-old son. So a winter trapped inside with a 2-year-old is interesting. It's difficult to keep a child occupied for those long winter months.
Yeah, 2-year-olds need a lot of attention.
Right.
So how did you get into podcasting?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to how I spent my 20s. I'm an alcoholic, and I got sober about 5 years ago.
Oh, good
and
for you.
That frees up a lot of time. That's the thing they don't tell you about sobriety is you're going to have a lot of time on your hands.
Maybe I should try that because I could really use some more time.
It is. It opens up more than you ever even knew existed. It's like, oh, there are mornings and I can function at night and the afternoons. I'm not like a hazy pile of shit. Yeah, it really frees up a lot of time. So you have to figure out a way. Really, the only way to stay sober is to figure out a way to fill up all of that time.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah. I'd always said that I was a writer, which I think a lot of alcoholics do. They just say they're a writer to excuse all their shitty behavior.
Like they're Ernest Hemingway themselves through life or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Some, you know, some guys, I think, just kind of glom on to like Bukowski or,
yeah,
you know, as some of those guys that were just awful, awful human beings. And, you know,
but I'm a writer.
Right. Exactly.
That's what the name of your podcast is.
I know.
Oh, God. So, okay.
Yeah. But when I got sober, I was like, well, I should actually start writing now that I have time. And I was listening to a lot of podcasts and I thought that'd be a good venue. And this is kind of what came out.
Very cool. I think it's so easy to do because I started a podcast literally one day, just I was restless and bored. And I was like, start a podcast right now. And I did.
Right.
And so I think that is part of what makes it such a good way to fill time. You know, it's like, well, you can just do it. You don't have to go to school for 3 years, 3.5 years, because I don't know what I was doing the other half of that year. Right. I mean, you just start.
And there are no rules, right? It's like the Wild West out there.
It's the best. I bet that's going to change, but
I mean, people, I like it. This is a kind of a harangue that I go on at times, but like people are already like self-regulating themselves as though this is like some kind of corporate medium. You know, you hear a lot of rules about how long a show needs to be or what a show can be, or I don't know. There's just a lot of self-imposed rules right now that I don't really care for.
Maybe that's how rules get started. At first, they're self-imposed.
Right.
Stuck with them.
Right. And then the man sees this group that's like, oh, they're already imposing their own rules. I bet they'd be amenable to, you know, a grand master.
Right? Oh, no. We just got dark and
paranoid. Yeah.
Already.
I think we just cracked fascism. For a few minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I do like that it's the Wild West right now, because I probably wouldn't have started a podcast if it were highly regulated. How about you?
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. It's just direct access to just do whatever you want. And then, I mean, not necessarily get people to listen to you, but actually have a chance for people to listen to you.
Yeah. And for me, when I started, I don't know about you, I didn't even know if anybody would listen. That's not why I started.
Right.
But then people did listen, and I was like, okay, now I want people to listen.
Yeah. You're mad with power. You get a little greedy.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Now I'm like, where are more listeners? I have to have more listeners.
Yeah.
I've got the bug, right, as they say.
Yeah, it's just all uphill from here, hopefully. There are a lot of thrifters out there.
Well, I think so. I think, and I think for the most part, we're a pretty interesting group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's a lot of variance or variability in the population of thrifters, for the most part, I would say they're usually people I want to talk to. That's nice.
I would totally agree. I think it's primarily a hobby for weird loners.
Yeah.
With like a fixation on like just the minutia of everyday life kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
And the weird whimsies and stuff of life. And I think there's a big overlap with like the podcast community, actually.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even when you thrift out of necessity, right? Like, 'cause that's certainly how I got started thrifting, was just being I was over interested in cool things and underpaid.
I hear that. Yeah.
So like, I just couldn't afford the things that I thought were cool. So I just started thrifting the most similar thing. Uh-huh. And then, you know, as time went by and my career's developed and I got more money, but I just stayed connected to thrifting. I still get, you know, 90% of my stuff by thrifting. What about you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Clothes for sure. I'm not sure I buy a lot of useful things. Most of the things I buy are just like weird kind of knickknacks, I think, at this point. But yeah, most of the things that I get are definitely from a thrift store.
Tell me a little bit about your thrift habits and collections. Tell me more. Because the pictures I saw are like floor to ceiling, covered. Every square inch seems to be covered with thrifted things.
Yes.
Tell me stuff.
So that kind of makes it sound like I'm a hoarder, which I don't think I am yet.
It's very organized.
It's organized, I know. This was also like, just like podcasting, this was kind of a sobriety project. I'd always gone to thrift stores. But I had this office, or I have this office in this house that we had just moved into, my wife and I. And I was like, I'd heard a story about, I think the bassist from the band Built to Spill has like portraits covering his walls in his house.
Very
and
cool.
That sounded interesting to me. And I decided that I was going to do that. I was just going to cover the walls of this office with like portraits and pictures. And it just got out of hand. I think I covered it in like a year.
Yeah, it looks really neat. I like it. And I'm certainly not meaning to imply that you're a hoarder. My meaning is it's like a very intense gallery wall on all the walls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no white space left.
Yeah. There's no white space.
Yeah. I find it very comforting, actually. It's where I write and where I record the podcast. And it kind of is like the outward, like physical representation of what I want the show to be. Just like, everything. I want it to be like everything.
Oh, neat. That makes sense. I'll definitely post a picture of your office. I think people would get a kick out of I think some people will also want to copy it because it looks really neat. It does. It looks like you walked into a den of, I don't know, of what?
I don't even know. You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of my friends will joke that, like, if I'm ever accused of a crime, like a murder, I'm going to be convicted because they're just going to show a picture of my office.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun. I think what happened is when I was young, I watched far, far too much Pee-wee's Playhouse. I think that this is kind of like my attempt at that.
I could see that. Yeah, poor Pee-wee gets a bad rap again.
He does.
I know.
He really does.
Very cool. I liked Pee-wee.
He's great. Yeah.
Great character. Well, I think it's great. I think a lot of listeners will like it too, because for whatever reason, a lot of us thrifters are maximalist. And I would say your office is definitely, I think it would be like the aspirational maximalism.
It is. It's maxed out. There's nowhere left to put anything.
You showed me a picture of, I think it was a walking stick. I couldn't decide if it was a walking stick or an unfinished didgeridoo. Tell me about your recent thrift haul.
Yeah, I went to Boys Ranch last night, and it's not big enough to be a walking stick. It's like slightly shorter than arm length, and then it's got this, like, a kind of an orb, kind of a misshapen orb at the end of it, all just carved out of wood. And then it has a very upsetting looking face carved into that orb.
It really does. That face looks very judgy, like a Catholic school nun.
Yeah, but like slightly tribalist or something too. There's something dark about it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it judging me all day. But what the hell is it if it's only arm length?
I don't know. I think maybe for like voodoo curses, perhaps.
Huh.
I really have no idea.
So it's like a magic wand of dark death and decay.
Right. I think so.
Oh gosh. Well, good luck with that.
I'm not sure. We'll see how it pans out. I might have to get rid of it somehow. If you never let me.
Yeah, if weird things start happening, you know where it's going to go, for sure.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to have a ghost in this house. So maybe...
What is wrong with you? Why do you want a ghost?
Just confirmation, I think, that they exist. I don't think they do, but, you know, it'd be nice to find out that's a thing, for sure.
Well, you could just have your friend have the ghost, and then that way you're not stuck with it.
I don't know. I think ghosts get a bad rap. I think it could be cool to have a ghost around.
Oh, that's a fair point. I'm probably just thinking of all the ghosts I've seen in horror movies.
Right. I'm sure they're not all malicious.
They can't all be bad, right?
Yeah, there are probably some ghosts that just want to, like, hang out and listen to records. And I don't know.
I would like a ghost that decorates and cleans out the closet. Like, I would like a ghost with anxiety that needs to clean.
Right, like a ghost butler, like the ghost of Mr. Belvedere, I think is what you're looking for.
Oh, that's perfect. So right? I'm going to start a podcast called that.
The Ghost of Mr. Belvedere, yeah, that would be good.
It would be in the storytelling genre of podcast, right?
Like audio dramas, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ghost of Mr. Belvedere, that's funny. So how did you start thrifting? Like, what's the origin of that? How and when?
I mean, I've been doing it forever, for as long as I can remember. I know my mom used to bring me to, like, you know, like outdoor flea market kind of things. And I always enjoyed those. And I always bought my clothes, for the most part, beginning in my 20s at thrift stores. And I couldn't really afford to buy much more than just the clothes. But, you know, I always noticed all the weird knickknacks and things around. And then when I was able to, I just started buying all those knickknacks. I'm not sure what the origin is, though, exactly.
Well, it sounds like your mom.
Yeah, a little bit. She's kind of, she's weird.
Does she still thrift?
She does. Yeah, she does. So, you know, occasionally she'll just send me like a picture of a weird doll and be like, you know, do you want this? I'm like, well, I'm not really in the weird doll business exactly, but thank you.
Oh, she's thinking of you.
Yeah, right.
I like weird dolls.
Yeah, I could go for a weird doll occasionally, but you don't want to get too many of them in one room.
No, no, because eventually one of them is going to be a mean ghost, like.
Right, right. Yeah, no benevolent ghost is going to, you know, make its home in a doll.
That seems right to me. Let's just assume that we're just talking about Your mom would probably like this group that I'm in on Facebook. It's called Weird Thrift Store Finds that just need to be shared. Well, there's two of them. And then there's one called What the Fuck Weird Thrifting Finds.
Ooh, yeah. I need to join those too, for sure.
They're funny. Yeah. I love those groups. And I just scroll through there. I can hey, it's like being drunk. I just lose so much time scrolling.
Looking at other people's things. I get so envious, though. You know,
I always want the weird
things. Right.
Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you buy that?
I know. Yeah. This is nothing to scoff at. This is a prized possession.
Yeah. The subtitle name of this group is Stuff I Wish I Had.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, what are your best thrifting tips? Like if you, okay, so let me say that again. What are your best thrifting tips? Like if you had to take somebody thrifting for the first time, what would you teach them?
Okay, so I think you have to have rules pretty specific to yourself.
Look at all that self-governance.
Ugh. Yeah, like I have really specific rules about shirts, for instance. If you don't have rules, you're just going to end up with so much stuff. So
they're like boundaries.
Right. Yeah. 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 Just to kind of whittle down the mass of things that you take into your house. So my shirt rules are generally like the collar. It's almost always button down shirts. The collar has to have those little buttons that keep the collar down.
Okay. So it's like Oxford type collar.
Yes, exactly. I like the buttons. Keeps it manageable.
So you have to know your fashion rules. That's the number one thing. If you go into a thrift store and you don't know your fashion rules, you're going to be overwhelmed.
Right. Okay. And I think it takes just time to figure those out, too. I think after a while of just going to thrift stores, I'm sure I wore a lot of just preposterous outfits in my 20s too, because they were all bought at thrift stores and I was just kind of going for weird, I think, a lot of the time. I went through a long like cowboy shirt phase.
Oh yeah, who doesn't? I still have some of my cowboy
shirts. Yeah, no, I still have a few too, but it was exclusively cowboy shirts, I think, for several years.
Those snaps.
It's yes.
Goddamn awesome snaps.
The pearl snap buttons.
I want those on all my clothes.
I know. They're really amazing. I feel like they got, like the cowboy shirts got co-opted by the bros for a little while there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know?
Well, they didn't last. They couldn't handle the thrift store smell too long.
Yeah, it seems to be anything good gets co-opted by the bros briefly.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Just long enough to ruin it.
Right, yeah, definitely.
But nothing sounds quite as awesome as someone ripping off a pearly snapped shirt.
It is a good sound. It is. It really is.
Maybe I can put my denim Western shirt, because it has really loud snaps. And I will take a sound clip and I will put it in this interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's a good sound and we all need to hear it.
I mean, I would definitely recommend the cowboy shirt to anybody. Like, just try it out. Give it a shot. Wear it around. See how it works for you.
Yes. And if you don't know the sound of pearl snap buttons, it's better than the sound of Velcro. So I'm going to play it for you.
All right.
How do you know if you like something, how do you know if you need to leave it behind? Like, what are your ways to parse your cart?
Have you ever read, what was that book called? The Magic of Tidying Up?
Yes.
The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. That's what it's called. Yeah. I kind of use that as my guide these days. Does this spark joy?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Like, people that thrift seem to like that book.
Yeah, it works for thrifting. I mean, it doesn't. If you follow the rules exactly, then thrifting is out of the question. But if you just kind of broadly apply the general idea to going to a thrift store, I think it works.
Yeah, I do too. I think so many things in the thrift store bring me joy, though. I've had to modify it slightly. And yeah. Like, will this bring me joy in 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, sometimes the thrill wears off and you're like, what did I do?
And I think from that book, I also kept the roll, like, instead of folding your clothes flat,
mm-hmm.
fold your clothes standing up. You know, like if you have a drawer full of things like t-shirts, instead of stacking the t-shirts, you should stack them vertically.
Yeah, roll them up and put them vertically. Right.
Yes, I still like that. That was a good tip.
And she says before you throw anything out, you have to thank it for its service.
That's a little far for me.
That's kind of where she lost me too.
But I make mine sacrifices to the thrift gods.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, here, thrift god, bring me something new.
I like that.
Out with the old and with the new.
Well, and sometimes I see a thing and I'm just like, I need to save you, object.
Yes.
Like, nobody else appreciates you but me, and you need to come live in my house.
Look, if you have delusions of grandeur, if you have a savior complex, this is the way to do it. It's good for everyone.
It is. It's good for the environment. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Save the thrift things. Don't boss people around.
Right. Sometimes I'll be, digging through some 50-cent records and I'll think like, well, I already have this one, but no one else likes it, so.
It's okay, too. Johnny Mathis. I love you. Another one. Tesher and Ferrante, right? Like, I see.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Do you have that thing where you see something once and then you start seeing it everywhere you look?
Sometimes, yeah.
And yeah. I almost start feeling like, are these thrift stores like interchanging? Are they just trading stuff?
Is this shirt following me?
Right. Like, I should just buy it, I guess, because I'm not going to stop seeing it.
Okay, fine. I'll take the shirt. Do you ever find things you've donated at thrift stores?
What a thrill.
It is thrilling, isn't it? It's so oddly exciting.
It is. I love seeing like how much Savers is charging for my shirts.
Sometimes I like that. Sometimes I feel a little sad afterwards.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I could have gotten a better deal on it if I would have just waited 5 years.
Savers is tough, yeah. Savers is the most difficult because their pricing seems to be a real wild card.
And
it's gotten out of control. Like, they're trying to charge $10 for shirts now, which is unacceptable.
I noticed that. I was at a couple Savers in Austin last month for the Podocalypse. They had some men's shirts for like $14, whatever their price point is, $14.99 or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
What? Oh, that was kind of.
That's like $1,000 in real world money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. There is a thrift money ratio. I like that. I'm glad you pointed that out. There's definitely real world inflation if you take it from the thrift store. It's not what you pay for the items. It's what it's worth in the non-thrift world.
Right.
Yeah. So why would I pay $14.50 for a shirt that's worth $34?
I know, in the real world. It makes me angry because I really want that shirt, but I also don't want to justify their outrageous prices.
what do you think the thrift to retail ratio is? Like, let's make a dollar conversion.
Okay.
Maybe I'll call your episode that.
The dollar conversion?
Yeah, it'll be like one U.S. dollar equals.
Right. I mean, it's got to be at least $5.
So one U.S. dollar equals five thrift dollars.
Yeah.
I feel like I can do better than that because I once got a Tory Burch dress for $8 and sold it used for $90 used.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it could be $1 to, yeah, like, let's make it a thrift store number. So, like, $1 to $8.99.
Yeah, there you go.
$1 to.
I mean, I guess it depends on how selective you're being. If you're buying something to, like, resell it, that's a whole different ballgame than if you're just wearing a shirt, like a wear-around shirt.
Yeah, and so then if it's yellow tag day, it's $1 equals what? 16, 17, 40. Yeah. What is it? What's that? 48 or something like that.
Oh my god,
it's too hard. I hate
that. All this math.
Yeah.
Right. I married an accountant, so I'd never have to do math again.
Oh, that's smart.
Other reasons too. She's also nice to hang out with. So
too late. You already said it. The podcast would be mad.
Yeah.
So let's test your thrift level.
Okay.
How often?
Oh, geez. Like, how often do I actually, or how often do I tell everybody?
you really are an addict.
I probably go to like 4 thrift stores a week.
That's pretty expert level. Now, should I double that? Like when you go to the doctor and you
know how much you're drinking? That's my honest answer.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be a lot more than that. It was literally 2 a day for a while.
I think if I could, I would definitely go to that many for sure.
You get into kind of like this groove where you start worrying about what you're missing.
Ah, that's the FOMO.
But in a town like, you know, Fargo's not that big. I live in Fargo, North Dakota. It's not that big. So we only have like 10 thrift stores, I would say.
And how many people do you think thrift in your town? Like, what's the percentage?
I mean, a good number. The thrift stores are fairly busy, I would say.
But so there's lots of competition.
Yeah. But there are only 10 of them, so it's not out of the question to go to all of them once a week.
You know? Like, move there. That sounds fun.
it sort of is. But yeah, once you start doing that, you start worrying about what you're missing. And that's not a great place to be.
Yeah, no, that's not good. So 4 times a week is good. Then you can just mm-hmm. stuff there for other people.
Yeah, you know, I'm good. I've gotten over it a little bit. I know I don't need everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So do you take a list when you go, or are you spontaneous?
Never a list. Always.
Never.
I mean, sometimes I'll have an item in my mind that, like, if I find that'd be cool.
So like a mental list at best.
Right. But it's always, I let the thrift store decide what I need.
Well, when you were building that gallery wall, I'm sure there was like, I need a 3x5 here because you already, or did you just collect everything and then put it up?
Yeah, it was kind of that. And then I just bought a lot of frames whenever I saw frames, and then I would fill those frames myself.
Okay, yeah. I did a gallery wall earlier this year, and it was pretty gnarly. To do, my ceilings are very high.
So yeah.
It was intense. So I'm almost done, Reed. And I cannot, I mean, I just can't climb the ladder again. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm sweating. I'm about to cry. My husband walks in. He's like, do you need some help? You know, I mean, I've been working on this thing for 2 fucking months.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, what? And I said, could you just hang this last picture for me? I can't do it. And he said, sure. So he climbs up there and he's hanging it. And he says, you know, you really should have started at the top and worked your way down. And I was like, come down here now. I'm going to murder you.
You don't understand my art.
It was such a good idea, though. I don't know why he didn't tell me 2 fucking months ago. Like, now is not the time to
I know,
be a gallery genius. Where were you?
That's funny. Yeah, I started like in the middle and just built out.
Yeah, that's smarter than what I did. I started at the bottom like a rap star.
The Drake approach.
Yeah, I use the Drake approach. Mm-hmm. Thrift gods?
Well, sometimes it feels like it. You know, but I think the universe is random and meaningless, and thrift stores are too.
Yeah. I mean, just let me have this one thing.
Okay,
just
you can have it.
One. Yeah, existentialism is rough sometimes. I need a thrift god. I don't need anything else, but so I get you.
But yeah, sometimes you walk into a store and you're feeling good, and then you find like 12 things.
Yeah, reasonably and then priced. You're feeling high.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah.
Maybe there are thrift drugs. Maybe there are.
Yeah, something to simulate the experience.
Well, not the other day. This was a while back, but it was like a month ago. But I haven't told this story, and I don't know why, because it's the thrift god story. I had gotten this crystal thing at like Ross or Marshall's. It was on sale. And I like to collect crystals, but they're so pricey that when I find one on sale, I'm like, mine. So I bought one. But it just sits all funny. Like, it's more like the shape of a plate, and it just doesn't sit right, like a bowl plate. So I was like, well, I think what I really need for this is a groovy little picture stand. And then I just put the crystal on there like a picture, and it'll look amazing.
Right.
I'm not kidding. The next day, I was just thrifting. And guess what I found? A groovy little picture stand for 99 cents. It's like gold, brass, bamboo. Like the coolest one I've ever seen.
Have you considered that all of reality might just be a projection of your subconscious?
That would be really cool because then I would be God.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And that would be fun. I'm not doing enough if I'm God.
Yeah, right. That is a lot of pressure.
I need to step up my game. What about alone or with friends?
Always alone. Once in a while, I'll bring my kid.
Yeah,
but he always
your poor kid. He's like, "Can I go today, please, Daddy?"
No, leave Daddy alone.
It's not Thursday.
Yeah,
that's funny. So you
Daddy needs his knickknacks.
Yeah, he's like, no, but the toys, no.
Yeah, no, we're not here for toys. This is like a game, Otis.
I do. The toys were always weird when my son was little because I wanted him to find the toys, but I was always like, oh,
yeah.
How dirty is this?
Right, right, right.
I was like, yes, you can play with the toys, but don't put your hands in your mouth. You know?
Yeah.
It was very stressful.
That is stressful. That somebody didn't want this for some reason.
Yeah. What reason?
Yeah. What happened that made this unappealing to that person?
Yeah. I don't know. It was always like a, but we did it. Yeah. So you go mostly alone, but sometimes you take your son. Does your son like to, you like to thrift with him? He likes to thrift with you, or is it just
together? I want to expose him to it because it's something that I enjoy. And he does enjoy it. He likes finding weird things. He's a funny, weird little kid. And he likes records. He likes listening to records. So we can dig for records and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. He's got the record flip going already. It's like where you put your hand on the top of the records and you thumb.
Yeah, right.
You middle finger through them really quickly.
Well, yeah, but I kind of worry that, you know, he's not going to be able to relate to any of his friends because right now, according to him, his favorite singer is Carole King.
And, that's amazing.
I don't think that the other kids are going to be as into her as he is.
Oh, who needs friends anyway?
Yeah, I agree. And if he's got to listen to something 3,000 times a week. That something is so far away, I will take it.
Yeah, Barney versus Carol King. Yeah. A contest.
Yes, for sure.
Maybe your son will grow up to be a very important producer of music. You never
know. Maybe. I hope so.
What about your best or worst thrift moment?
Oh man, worst. I always feel so bad when I get something home and I've just been like, I'm not trying this on. Of course it fits. And then it doesn't. And then you got to slump back to the, you know, throw it back in the, I'm giving this back to the thrift store pile.
Yeah, that's is never better.
Yeah.
And why is it never too big?
No, it's never too big.
It's never too big.
I feel like people in the 1950s were very tiny.
They were hungry.
And their shirts, although very stylish, are much smaller than our current day large shirts.
Oh my God, yes. I don't know if you wear dresses, but if you don't, let me tell you, the dress size 12 from the 1950s.
Yeah.
Like a today's size 8.
Yeah. I mean,
not just one size down, but like 3 sizes down.
Right. Yeah, I complain about the men's clothes, but yeah, women's clothes. I mean, even I think current day women's clothes, right, are just the sizing is all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. But I wonder, what did people who were actually not a size 8 wear?
Right. They're just tiny little, like, depression kids, you know?
Just no clothes for you. No clothes for you.
Right.
I don't get it. Yeah, that is the bummer about vintage things. Is I love vintage stuff, but apparently nobody had boobs. Nobody like ate much. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it was the sizes were they're really off. So I definitely identify with that.
Yeah.
But I very rarely buy things that I don't try on because that is really, really annoying.
I try to do that, but occasionally you're in a hurry, you know?
Yeah. Occasionally you're just like overconfident.
Right.
Underscheduled.
Yeah. I feel thin today.
Yeah. You're not in reality. It just, you know, that happens on Wednesdays.
Right.
Not in reality anymore. Yeah. Well, and sometimes I just want it.
Exactly. Like someday maybe this shirt's too nice not to have. I don't know. Again, it's like the rescuing a shirt or rescuing an object kind of thing.
Like I can't just leave this here.
Right.
Yeah.
I think as far as best moments, I have so many things I love. at Goodwill not long ago, I found this pile of records that they hadn't put out yet. And it was it was Magical Mystery Tour, Sgt. Pepper's, Dark Side of the Moon, this weird double album Janis Joplin thing that I've never seen before. Like Joe Cocker, a bunch of like good original press 60s stuff, like half of which I didn't care about, but I just sold it and traded it in for better things. And they were just $1 each. Oh, and under that pile were 6 Edith Piaf records.
Oh, wow. What a haul.
Super psyched about that. Yeah. So $1 each. It was a great day.
That record hauls like that may be among the best feelings.
Oh, they're so good. And especially when it's somebody like Edith Piaf, who you just don't see anywhere.
Ugh, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Well, this is the part of the show where you tell us where to find you. Maybe tell us a little bit about where to listen to your podcast. If you have any other side hustles, tell us the things.
Yeah, you can listen to my show, The Irrationally Exuberant, at theirrationallyexuberant.com. There's a Facebook page, just search The Irrationally Exuberant. It's wherever you get podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those. It's all over. That's really it. The website is the central place. I'm working on a new show We're starting recording this weekend. That's going to be called Reed Messerschmidt Gets Metal. And it's, I have a co-host, and it's going to be my attempt to get into metal music, even though I'm generally the kind of guy that, you know, like reads Virginia Woolf books for fun.
That'll be funny. I'll listen to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. My co-host is like a real metal dude. He's a drummer. He's got tattoos all over. He's kind of mean. Yeah, I think it'll be funny.
I think it'll be funny too. Because I just imagining you like sitting around getting super existential about metal and really sarcastic. That sounds funny.
Yeah, I don't get it at all at this point. I just I don't know why anybody wants grown men screaming at them about their feelings. It just doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. I hadn't quite thought about it that way, but I can see why I stopped listening in my late 20s.
Right.
I guess I was done with that shit.
Exhausting.
Well, it's been really fun talking to you.
Absolutely. I had so much fun.
Good. I'll see you online.
All right. See you.
This is the Irrationally Exuberant. I'm Reed Messerschmidt.
Family, friends, fans. Bono, I see you over there.
Looks like a carelessly basted turkey with the head still on, but the head got stung by a bee and it's allergic to bees.
Johnny, are you awake, Johnny?
Yes, Bigfoot. I was just smelling your arm fur and thinking about how much I love you. I love you more than that old moon and his bright little friends, the stars.
This is the story of the time I found myself in front of the frying pan at 3 a.m, drunk, of course, wearing a blood-stained suit and a backpack full of potatoes. This is the story of the time a grizzled old hobo asked me if I was okay. The Irrationally Exuberant is a podcast, but also art. Find it at theirrationallyexuberant.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Iceberg Slim and Bees and Roy Orbison. What could these things possibly have in common?
I had a lot of fun recording with Reed. Thanks for being on, and I hope to have you back on the podcast soon. Talk more about your thrift hauls. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. Be sure and head on over to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. This really helps us get noticed and helps other thrifters find us when they're looking on the interwebs for ideas related to thrifting. Also, if you take the time to write a review, I will read it on air and give you a shout out. I have also ordered some merchandise and will be promoting the merchandise once I get it. Be sure and look for that on my webpage, which is thrifttherapypod.com. I'll set up a little merch store there so you can buy thrift therapy gear. I want to tell you guys a little bit about what I have planned for October. It's rapidly approaching and I'm super excited because I've been saving interviews related to Halloween. I know for a lot of thrifters, this is one of our favorite holidays. We get to use our thrifting skills to build one-of-a-kind rad costumes and then go show off to all of our friends and feel superior because we only paid $5, right? I know, you can't wait. So I have a whole lineup of October episodes raring to go. I have ghost stories, haunted object stories from listeners. I have interviews with the Wives Tale podcast, the Vampire Movie Club podcast. We're going to talk costumes with a theater designer. And I think I'll be doing some giveaways. So tune in the whole month of October for some really fun, festive Halloween spooky tales. I love a good scary story, so I'm hoping to include some of those. Everybody stay thrifty, and I'll talk with you next week.